So here we are, and the system is broke. American dream has gone up in smoke. So stop sitting there all brokenhearted. Let's get this motherfucking party started. Lady Liberty is ringing a bell, and we're driving us straight into hell. But don't worry, we got what you need. Crank up the volume till your eardrums bleed. Go make America, America again.
Welcome everyone to the A Better Way to a Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan. We are currently waiting for Andrew. His life is chaos. He has three kids and doesn't know what to do with himself. Today, we have Alex from Control Pew here. We are super pumped to have him on. We're going to talk about all things 3D printing and liberty and shooting and making your own guns at home and wherever else that takes us. Thank you,
Should Alex, be fun.
For coming on the show. Yeah, I think so,
My
too.
My pleasure. Hey, We've been around this for a little while, and it's been I keep getting told to talk to you guys to come on for a long time, and I just never did because I was always tied up with work and everything else. So here I am,
dude,
finally.
I get it. Likewise, I think we've been told a few times when we ask, hey, who should we have on the show? I'm pretty sure your name's popped up a few times, and it's just one of those things where we forget to ask or life gets in the way. Mm-hmm. Even when we did ask, you know, we had to book a time like 2 months out. So.
Right.
But never it ending. Worked. No. Finally. It's such is life. But we are here now. And
was it really 2 months ago?
What was it?
Was it really?
I feel like it was. Ago? I think it was 2 months ago. It was over a month. I know. Doesn't that suck? You've aged 2 months in the time.
I've aged 10 years since we booked that appointment.
Oh God, I hate that. So Thanksgiving. Do you celebrate the taking of life from the indigenous people of America?
Every now and again. I mean, the food's good. So
Thanksgiving's one of those things where we. So for people listening at home, this is 2 days after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's one of those things that, you know, my first half of my life, I understood the whitewashed history of Thanksgiving, and I was like, yay. Pilgrims. I honestly never really like talked about that stuff. We never decorated our Thanksgiving like the social studies books has right. Thanksgiving decorated as, you know, just friends coming over and family and whatnot. And then I got to the internet and just got a whole bunch of people yelling at me for celebrating Thanksgiving. And I was like, I want to celebrate Thanksgiving even harder now.
Right.
Because you people are insufferable. And then got to the phase where it was like, oh, okay, like this is where they're coming from. Because it took a couple people who would actually explain it to me and, you know, some YouTube videos and whatnot for me to be like, oh, okay, I guess Thanksgiving kind of sucks in the sense that it is. But I still see it as a way to get together with your family. It's an excuse for like all of your family to get into one spot, have dinner. Right. And then ruin everybody's night by talking politics.
Which as we proceed more and more into the age of the internet, getting your family together in a room is like more and more difficult.
It is. I read this thing the other day that was saying like voicemails are no longer a thing. And
yeah.
I still leave voicemails sometimes, like, depending on who it is.
Because like I get a call from someone, they left me a message that I then have to call someone else to go get. Right? They could have just texted
fair,
me.
Fair. Well, what if it's like a doctor's office or something like that?
Yeah, send me a text.
Doctor's office should text. Yeah, they should text.
I don't want to spend 20 minutes on the phone with this lady.
This is one of the things that I wonder if it's just nostalgia knocking on my like the back of my head and saying, you should like voicemails. And I'm just like not ready to give up because it's a artifact of a bygone era.
Right.
Like I remember in middle school leaving voicemails and having like voicemails didn't count against your minutes because the other person didn't pick up the phone.
Right.
So sometimes we would just leave voicemails to tell each other things.
Yeah.
And like, I'd be like, don't pick up. I'll leave you a voicemail. Like that was a thing. I can't believe I remember that.
I'm from this era too. It was a good time.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a lot of minutes on my track phone.
Yeah. I had a Virgin Mobile like brick, nice. Like a Nokia brick.
Yeah, the Nokia and, 700s or whatever.
Yep, and I remember getting like an Ozzy Osbourne ringtone and thinking it was so cool. I had to spend like $4 on it.
Oh. And it was and an 8-bit too.
Yes, yes.
It beeped at you.
Yeah, it was so good. It was so good. I remember thinking I was so cool. Like people are going to hear this when I get a phone call and they're going to say, oh, he likes Ozzy Osbourne. He must be dark and mysterious.
Yeah, Ozzy Osbourne on your phone, Pokemon Gold in your Game Boy. You were the coolest kid on the block.
Life was sweet.
King of the playground.
And then Harambe had to die.
Then Harambe died.
And the timeline was split.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that was in like 2012, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it was a few years after high school. I had that brick phone when I was
in okay. School. It messed up the whole timeline from the beginning to the end.
There was like a buffer zone where like it took away years from in the past and years in the future. And we're still recovering.
Mm-hmm.
Man. So, Alex, for those who don't know you, what do you do?
I 3D print guns and hate the government.
Awesome.
We're going to get along. I feel like that sums it up pretty well.
Yeah. So I live in Connecticut, which sucks by itself. You know, a lot of history here, a lot of cool stuff to see. But I cannot 3D print guns and... I would call 3D printing guns like extracurricular gun activities. Mm-hmm. My like regular gun activities are pretty stunted here as well. 30 round mags, no go, as long as if they're not grandfathered in.
Right.
We can't buy ARs anymore. We can't buy assault rifle variants.
Even the grandfather, like the pre-assault weapon ones?
Pre-bans are no longer allowed. Huh. Yeah. It's goofy. No more. If you had it prior to the ban, like prior to the... Right. January of this year ban, it could be grandfathered in.
Did you have to register it?
It was suggested.
Huh.
Yeah. They wanted you to register it. All that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So needless to say, like 3D printing guns for me is kind of a pipe dream. But it is something that I know you know, Yeezy Prince. We've had him on the show again. Actually, we're having him on the show again in like a week or so. But I know you know him. You guys print some awesome stuff because you live in states that are slightly more free and are less like on your ball sack.
That's such a depressing statement. Less free states. Yeah. More free states.
More free states. I know.
We should fix that.
Yeah. Well, it sucks. Like, unfortunately, in our current political climate, it's like it really depends on your perspective, because you've got certain states where, you know, women have like less ability to, you know, get an abortion and stuff. But like you have the ability to 3D print guns, and then vice versa. Mm-hmm. Same thing with like immigrants and all that stuff. But it sucks that politics is the way that it is. I hate that. I want both. I want everything. Right. Like. More freedoms for everybody, regardless of what they are.
Yeah, I want to defend my mushroom farm with Gatling guns and miniguns.
Yes.
Unregistered, unregulated miniguns.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I can make my mushroom coffee.
Yeah, my shit coffee.
God, so disgusting. It's still in the back of my head.
I'm sorry.
I can't get over that.
Apparently it's a thing. You think somebody who's like... grew up drinking coffee and was like, I just want to make this suck. Right? I'm going to make this out. Let me find the plant that everybody hates and I'm going to make coffee out of it. I'm going to take this good thing. Well, you know what? It could have been like somebody in your position who just would get like unimaginably violent shits whenever they drank coffee. And they were like, I want to enjoy coffee. How can I do this? What's the closest thing that I can grow in North America to like a dirt bean?
Mm-hmm.
Mushrooms, maybe. I don't know.
I guess.
I don't know. We're going to have to ask them. We'll have them on the podcast, whoever that was.
Yeah, get them on here. We need
Why answers. Are you the way that you are? Why did you make mushroom coffee?
Why are you bad? Why are you a bad human being?
Why are you a bad person? Why couldn't you just make regular coffee that doesn't make people shit?
Right?
If they can milk an almond, they can make coffee that doesn't make people shit.
Anyway. I don't understand. Food anymore, but whatever.
That'll be a quote one day. Somebody's going to put that on my tombstone.
So yeah, I'm going to tweet it right now.
If they can milk an almond, why can't they make coffee that doesn't make you shit? That's so funny. We're at the age of technology where we can live tweet while we're on a podcast. He's literally tweeting.
Tweet and talk at the same time.
All right, everyone listening at home, wait. Just wait. Stop what you're doing. Stop listening. He's live tweeting it right now. Are you quoting me, or are you just writing it at, with zero context?
Oh, no, I'm quoting you.
Oh, all right, all right. And we remembered for this.
Attribution is one of those things that we take in the 3D printing world very seriously.
I listen, I respect that. I respect that. So, obviously, are you done tweeting?
Yes,
I'm done. Okay.
I'm going to close Twitter now, so I'm not distracted by that
story of my life, except I have to close literally everything to no longer be distracted. I have two screens in front of me, and it's almost unbearable.
Dude, I've got three screens on my computer. I've got my tablet up. I've got my phone is over there on the dock. So it's everything is at me.
Feed me the information.
Right. Data. Give me data. Yes.
I don't know why that was so funny.
It's because I'm evil.
Yeah, give me data. So, for somebody who lives in a regular state, or I mean, we'll just put this out there,
in a real place
for anybody. Yeah, for somebody who does not live in the ether. For anybody though, why would somebody want to build a gun at home instead of just going out and buying one?
Because it's a lot of fun. It's primarily,
yeah.
There is. We'll get metaphoric here. There's a certain level of like pride you take in building something yourself, especially when it works. There's a certain bit of the intellectual challenge of figuring it out when it doesn't work. And there's that general Americanism of tinkering with something until it does work. That's sort of what built America, I guess. That sort of idea of like, I'm going to keep working at this until it works for me, or I'm going to die. Because I started in the winter, didn't have enough food put away, because I was too busy trying to make a tractor because tractors don't exist yet, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, you know, there's, so that's the personal reasons. There's the political reasons of, you know, I want to make my position on rights known. I want to, you know, join this this experiment of the First and Second Amendments. So there are just a lot of different reasons, and it's always kind of a personal thing for each person who gets involved. My personal thing is I like the engineering and the design behind things. I like to know how things work. I like the mechanisms of things that function without, you know, from a time before computers. Because I also build computers, and that drives me insane. so, you know, I like the tinkering of things. I enjoy, you know, I understand the importance of the Second Amendment and the First Amendment. And so, you know, this is a great sort of conversion of all of the nerd things that I love and all of the mechanical things that I love. And the what I think are probably the two most important rights that we have. You know, sort of, I would say they're like God given beyond, you know, the Constitution, but you know, most people would use the Constitution as a reference point for them. So
yeah,
you know, constitutional rights, natural rights, whatever, you know? And so it's this nice convergence of all of these things that I am particularly passionate about.
Yeah. You've got the freedom of information and the freedom to make fucking guns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds like it sounds like an autistic hyperfocus.
Yeah, like, it really is,
in the best way possible. I think this is the problem. Like, I've tried to briefly get into 3D printing, and I think the problem with that, at least in my experience, is that like it's really hard to get into something like 3D printing on a superficial level.
Mm-hmm.
I printed Bodhi. I printed Bodhi McBoatface.
Nice.
And like I've printed little things. Like I have a headphone. I have a thing that latches onto my desk that holds my headphones when I'm done with them. Little stuff like that. But the idea of printing a gun, like a functional firearm from nothing is so daunting to me. It is something that, you know, I would love to be able to do, but it just, it seems like I wouldn't even know where to start. And there seems like there's so many resources out there, but it's like, I used to laugh when you would post on your Instagram and your Twitter, people saying like, hey, so how do I get involved into 3D printing? And you'd just be like, read this, like,
yeah,
help yourself kind of thing.
Right.
Because it's gotta be,
can you read? Okay.
Can you read? Read this. And the first thing, one of the first things you see when you go on the Control Pew website is like a beginner's guide to 3D printing, which I love. But for somebody who, I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. Like if somebody's trying to get into 3D printing, you start there and you're gold, right? And then you go from there and you fuck up, I'm assuming.
And you
figure
will.
Out why you fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've 3D printed a few things, and Easy Prints has been like super like helpful to figuring stuff out with me. Like I have I've asked them questions. Also my friend Kenny. And I feel like having that kind of community is essential to getting things better. And it really seems like that's one thing in the 3D printing community that is like there for you. It's like people, if you ask questions, like people will answer. Has that typically been your experience?
I'll put a caveat on that. Say if you have taken the first like two steps.
Yeah.
And you start asking questions, people are more than happy to answer you. If you've taken no steps and you start asking questions, everyone will be annoyed at you.
That's why I liked your post about that, because it was like, it was literally just like, please, please just try to do. It's like when my parents will ask me to Google something for them.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I send mine the link of, let me Google that for you.
Yes.
Is that still around anyway?
I think
I'm
it is.
Gonna look. It's just distracting. But yeah, so like it's one of those investment things, right? If you don't have a printer, if you haven't bothered to go that far because they're so cheap, it's just, you can't do anything else until you have the printer. So if you don't have the printer, if it's still, or if you have it, it's still sitting in the box, you haven't actually taken any steps on your journey. You're just sitting here at the beginning doing nothing. And so if you've at least attempted to print anything, right, at that's the point where you can like start asking questions. You know, oh, my print didn't work. Why didn't it work? I don't understand. I'm real new. Whatever. People are more than happy to help you.
I'm a baby.
Right. That's fine. But like, if you're, I'm ignorant of everything and haven't bothered to go to Amazon to buy a printer, everyone's going to look at you and be like, why are you stupid?
Yeah, that's fair. I used to work at a car shop, like an automotive shop. And we'd have people that would come in with a noise. Like I get that for most people, their cars are like, it's like magic. You know, you start the key, you turn the key, it starts, you press the gas, it goes. That's the whole understanding.
Right. It's expensive magic too.
It's expensive magic. It's even more expensive when you think it's magic and nothing, like you don't have to actually be aware of anything.
Oil, what's that?
Oil, yeah. No, that's the thing where I just put oil in when the light comes on.
Yeah.
We would have people that would come in and be like, my car is making a noise. What is it? And they'd be dragging the entire exhaust from their cat back and would like, but never even thought to look.
Right.
And that to me feels like the kind of experience that you have with new 3D printers when they ask questions. And it's like, have you Googled this?
Right.
Like, do you really need to be calling customer support right now?
Right. I mean, we have to start even before that. Do you have a printer yet? What printer do you have?
But it has that in the guide. Like it says, there's recommendations.
Right. And that's why we put it together, is just to distill all of that collective information of like, what printers do I need to get? What are good for this? Which ones are cheap? Which ones are in my budget range? What filament do I use? Like, we answer all of those questions. So you can at least take the first step, and like maybe more if you're clever. But if you get stuck after you've taken that first step, there is a whole mess of people on the internet in ether space who are happy to help you solve the next step of your journey.
Yeah.
But you have to commit to taking that first step first.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Is there, so I saw that the Ender 3 Pro now has like auto leveling and mm-hmm. things like that. That's mine does not. So
I lost your audio. Hang on.
Can you hear me now?
Hello? I can hear you.
Cool.
My headset just shut off for some reason. I don't know what's going on.
Wireless?
Yeah.
That's cool. Is it dying?
No, it just decided to stop. I don't know. Technology.
Technology, it's magic.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Andrew. So, I don't think Andrew will be. Am I gone again?
No, you're good.
Oh, okay. I don't think Andrew's gonna be joining us. He's I literally was just saying I don't think Andrew's gonna be joining us.
I got him to sleep.
Nice.
Awesome.
It was a bit of a journey. It was a bit of an ordeal. It's been an ordeal of a week, but you guys don't want to hear about that.
No.
It was fine.
No, whatever. Tell me about it, Andrew.
No, yeah, no.
How's your kid doing? What's how you like? On, yeah, no, what's kidding. How you doing, buddy? Doing
okay? By the way, we charge $100 an hour.
I've got a great couch.
We can finally start the podcast.
Oh yeah, now we can start. Welcome everyone.
Hey everybody.
If this is your first episode, this is Andrew.
No, what were we talking about?
We just finished really talking about like why would somebody want to build a gun at home as opposed to just buying one, and Alex was telling us
because it's fucking rad.
Yeah. And we were just talking about like getting started and you know why dealing with people who ask questions before giving it a shot and how annoying that is.
Yeah, that's probably me. That's my nature.
Do you understand the course of fire? No.
No. I need everything to be explained to me and to make sense before I even make an attempt.
It at a first grade level too, so we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate trying new stuff and then I'm not good at it and I don't get like immediate good feedback and just mm-hmm. dopamine doesn't come.
That's fair.
Story of my life.
Yeah.
Why did you never finish anything you start? Well, because the dopamine doesn't come.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Is printing guns dopamine intensive, or is this like a discipline that you gotta like hone?
It really depends. If you are in the slightest bit mechanically inclined, so if you are any good, like have one skill point into tinkering with shit, it's a dopamine right. minefield.
I like that.
If you have no points in tinkering with shit, it's going to be a discipline you have to train.
Okay.
Until you get at least one skill point in tinkering yeah. with shit.
And then it's downhill from there. Like
right,
and then ease-wise, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely exponentially easier once you like take the first step. Once you hit print on your first thing, it gets easier from there.
Okay.
I love watching something print. Like I'll sit there and look at it for like 5 minutes straight.
Isn't that weird? I do the same thing when I started like smoking meats, not smoking cigarettes, but smoking. When I started like using my big smoker, it was the same way. Where it's like, you know, all right, set it on there and forget about it for 12 hours. I'm like, no, Betty,
can't.
I'm gonna drink beer and watch this thing cook for fucking half a day.
Did you get a smoker with a glass door so you can look into it?
No, dude, I would just open it and look at it.
Oh,
and
no.
Just add hours to it.
No.
Yeah.
Just add
get
hours.
The glass door.
Yeah.
Or once I realized that you shouldn't do that, what I would do is I would just look at the outside of the smoker and just imagine the meat cooking in there.
That's a good experiment right there.
You're probably just smoking right now.
Yeah. Oh, it's
The next step in your journey will be to narrate that.
Yeah.
So you can have like a better way to a special
meat smoking ASMR.
That's not a bad idea. Yep. I know you're joking, but actually that's
no, I'm not.
A bad idea. I feel like printing is like different because you're like you're watching it. You're watching the progress bar on your computer. You're watching the plastic poop out of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And then you watch it fall over.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
The spaghetti.
After 6 hours, you start
the forbidden
screaming.
Spaghetti.
Rocking back and forth in a fetal position in the corner.
Yeah. What has been, so like, that's something I'd like to know. What did I print once? I forget what I was printing, but this was one that our friend Kenny helped me with. It was like a 12-hour print, which is probably nothing compared to like some of the things you've printed, especially I'm on a regular Ender 3 Pro.
Yeah.
So it's a small thing.
It's like Glock 26.
What?
Like a Glock 26 is about a 12-hour print.
For you?
Yeah.
Jesus. That's insane.
Well, it should be for you too if you're on an Ender 3.
Well, I've never tried printing a Glock 26.
That's fair. That's true. I forgot where you live. So, yeah.
It's goofy. But what did I print? I think it was like it was something goofy. It was like it was a Helldivers helmet.
All right. Like full size?
It was shrunken down because the full size was like a 4.5-day print. And I had to, it was supposed to be a full size helmet built into like four pieces that snap together that you could wear as a helmet. But I just put them all together and printed it as like one piece with like a hollow inside.
There you go.
But I don't think I had supports on or something like that. Mm. So I remember coming down like a couple hours after. Oh no, I came down when it was done and it was just douche, like on the tray. And I was just like, what the fuck happened? And Kenny was like, you clearly something was wrong here. I'm like, that's apparent.
A mistake was made.
Clearly you did it wrong. Right? Our friend Kenny is very like blunt.
Yeah.
I'm really upset.
Everybody needs a friend like that who just tells you like it is. You're stupid. Stop it. You know?
Yeah, he's like that. He's hilarious. He's also extremely helpful.
He won't be like you're stupid for having done that. He would be like, the smart thing to do would be,
would be this. Would have been the opposite thing, of what you did.
Right. Everything you didn't do, that's the good thing.
People who know what they're doing typically do it this way instead.
Yeah.
Bless Kenny.
He's a gem. We have to, our one episode that we did with him is actually never going to be released, unfortunately, except for on our Patreon, because it was with, we did an episode with a teacher who was armed. He's an armed teacher. It was very good, but, we can't get a hold of the guy. He had technical issues like halfway through. His browser was like full of memory or something like that. It was really weird. I just want everyone to know that Andrew shut off his camera so he could pick his nose.
That's a good idea.
And he's muted and nobody can hear him yelling at us.
Oh no, but I said I did pick my nose and I was successful. I got it out.
Nice, nice.
Proud of you.
So you've got you've got the files down, you've got the thing that you want to print. All of your settings are correct on the 3D printer. You hit print. Troubleshooting seems to be something that would frustrate a lot of people into like never trying it again. Like I was just saying, you know, you start printing something big and it fucks up and you don't find out about it until the end. And either way, once it fucks up, you have to start it over again. Right.
Right.
So like, I mean, you just keep trucking on, right? Like that's, you just got to do it again. Stop crying about it.
You gotta get pissed off and then get better or get not pissed off. And then do your technical analysis of your failure and then try again.
That's fair. Do you, what do you do with your shitty like PLA or whatever you use?
Like failed prints?
Yeah.
Most of them go into a bin and I'm just waiting for the next buyback.
Cause they buy it back and like recycle it?
No, because they're firearms.
Oh, I get it. Like a gun buyback. I thought you were talking about like somebody wants like the ruined prints that they can like recycle.
Wait, so no. You have like a bunch of failed firearm prints that still qualify as firearms?
Well, because they don't know.
Yeah, they don't know. I'm exploiting their ignorance.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Oh my God.
I mean, they don't usually give me their advertised rate for it. So it's usually not the $200 a gun, but it's, you know, they're failed print, so it doesn't matter. Like,
how much? So, if you were to print a full lower receiver tomorrow for like your cheapest, most inexpensive to print gun that would register, like that would merit a $200 payout, what would that cost you in materials to print? Do you think?
Hmm.
because it feels like an infinite money glitch.
What about
it's one of those? Well, it's one of those technical things where, like, sometimes they think they know, and sometimes they don't know, and sometimes they're just they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah,
and so you might get there and be like, "We're not buying any of these," or "We're not going to give you anything for any of these."
Cool. I'll just go murder someone then.
Right. I'll just I'll just dump these on the street corner. I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so they're not firearms, so I can just hand them out, right?
Yeah, I'll just give them to a kid. I'll give them
to a
child.
So you're saying 3D printed guns aren't dangerous and you don't want them off the street.
Can I get that on recording?
Yeah. Please talk into the microphone. Anyway, no, it's one of those like meh kind of things. I think for about $20-25 you could print like a very, very low infill Biden's Bane, which is
what is that?
Well, it's a 3D printable AR upper, and then like your what is it,
lower,
the U-bar lower, and that's most of an AR-15 right there. Sometimes they'll have caveats about functional or not, which is so they've gotten a little bit wiser after the first couple people who went to Twitter and cashed in on like the
Home Depot things, like
well,
they're building guns out of plumbing materials,
right? And so they got a little bit smarter about how they handle that, but sometimes there's you know, one or two, you know, so I might go and I might get $100, but it's failed prints, so I don't care.
Yeah. That's cool.
They're buying my garbage.
Yeah, that's sick.
Whatever.
There's a speaking of buying garbage, let's talk politics for a second.
Oh, and real quick before we move on.
Yeah.
I will not go to a buyback that's funded in any way by the state. So it's always a privately funded buyback, because I'm not gonna support them using my tax money against me.
Smart. So,
Read the flyers, kids.
Who sponsors these gun buybacks when they're privately funded?
It's usually some nonprofit somewhere, and I'm sure the nonprofit got some government funding from somewhere, because it's usually how these things work. But like direct funding from the states is where I draw the line.
Yeah, that is really interesting.
Why is that? I think I understand, but why do you not want to take tax dollars for that?
Because it every time you accept tax dollars for something, you give the powers that be an excuse to get more tax dollars later.
So they're spending that budget more. And they'll be like, oh, well, this was really successful. A bunch of people did the buyback. Right. We need more money to get more guns off the street.
Right. Mm. And so it's just my small protest against taxes, because they're evil.
Yeah.
Fair. That's
like, you think you're getting one over on them, but you're actually contributing to the systemic oppression.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's a solid.
Taxes suck, kids.
Yeah. I remember thinking like, what was it? It's like the Hodge twins came out with a book about taxes. Oh, and I remember thinking it was super cool until I like learned about the Hodge twins.
Well, that's the funny thing about a lot of this, like conservative libertarian messaging, is that like there's a lot of libertarian stuff that's actually pretty uncontroversial if you like separate it from the like weirdos that typically like say this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this is especially true of like really far right libertarians, where it's like, you know, they'll come out with the like, you know, the basic stuff like, hey, big government steps on your toes sometimes, and you're like, yeah. And then they're like, if we were a more racially homogenous society, this wouldn't be, you know, it's like, oh shit, wait, fuck, stop.
Oh, go you back.
Like, and, I feel like I there's can't remember 10 or 12 that. Steps missed there.
Yeah. And I just, yeah. So, and I don't remember what the Hodge twins things, they've had some bad takes that have really turned me off, but I can't remember what they are.
I don't remember either. I was just
probably,
that was,
probably misogynistic stuff. That's
maybe,
that's
one maybe, of the big, but yeah. Maybe. I don't know much about them other than,
I feel like I knew who they were like 10 years ago, but I just can't remember anything about them.
I think they're more relevant during like Trump's presidency.
Yeah. They're just like anti-woke like YouTubers.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just, it's an easy grift.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's it. But yeah, one thing I wanted to talk about is I've noticed like a very, there's a widespread of people in the 3D printing community, which I think is great.
Yeah.
There's only like, one demographic we don't have. So we've got the far right, we've got the middle right, we've got the middle, and we've got the far left. There's that middle left suburban, like housewife type demographic that we just can't get into. Well, everyone else, though, yeah, they're on our side.
It's culture war brain rot, you know, because it's like, so it's like the middle right and the far right are very much caught up in the culture war in a way that I feel like the far left typically just is not sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like, you know, you're kind of like middle left, mainstream Democrats are going to be scared of any of this stuff just because of they're like, oh, we don't do that, you know?
Yeah. Guns are bad.
Well, and it's funny you say that, because I just had this conversation with my dad. My dad was like, oh, who are you having on the podcast? He's here today. I was like, oh, we're having this guy, Alex from Control Pew. He 3D prints guns. And he's like, isn't that illegal? And my dad, to be clear, is like a MAGA dude. Like, mm-hmm. He loves Trump. Last night he said something that was really funny that I laughed at. He's like, the Democrats, they just seem to hate us. And I don't know why. I don't understand. I'm like, Dad, I'm not opening this can of worms tonight. Time to pour another whiskey. But
why do you think that is?
There isn't a bottle of whiskey deep enough for that conversation.
No. But a show of the ignorance that surrounds 3D printing. And he was like, isn't that illegal? Like, can't you get in trouble for that? And I was like, well, in Connecticut, I can't print guns, but many other states you can't, because you can make your own firearms.
Yeah.
And just, he didn't know, as like a right wing dude, like as like a MAGA guy. Like, so it's no surprise that there are people that are like on the pro gun quote unquote side who are like, I don't want anything near, I don't want to go near that at all.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? So like, there's a lot of, obviously there's people from all different backgrounds and demographics that contribute to the 3D printing community as far as their designs. And seeing how, in my opinion, like 3D printed designs benefit everyone because freedom of information, everybody has access to the same information. How do you parse like 3D printed designs coming from like problematic individuals? How does the politics behind the people who contribute affect what you do?
It doesn't.
If at all. All right.
Not even a factor. So there's a thing that we started saying around the community, which is we're here for the guns. Everything else can fuck off. Yeah. That's it. That's as far as it needs. People will disagree personally all they want. If they make a good gun, a good design for a 3D printed gun, they make a good design for it. Like that's not a tangible. What is it? The science thing. When you can measure a thing,
measurable.
Yeah. That's a measurable fact.
I think you're looking for the gun
is good or not. Yeah. There's a term that made me sound smarter. Verifiable. But I sound retarded now. So it's verifiable. Fine. Yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? You know, if they made a good design, they made a good design. That's it.
Yeah.
And so their personal beliefs, their politics, I don't care. They made a good thing. They're willing to put it out there for everyone.
Yeah.
They're not putting any caveats on there. We're like, you can only download this file if you're a Nazi like me or something. That's going
to clip. And frankly, if they did do that, then you should reshare it anyways.
Right. Just out of spite.
Like if somebody is out here, like, you know, you have to take my Nazi purity test to use my cool gun. Then as an anti-Nazi, it would be your duty, I think, to violate that.
Yeah. It's funny how that would work.
Yeah.
So like, I try to stay out of the politics of it. I'm here for the cool guns.
Yeah.
I'm here for the guns, period. If you've got a cool gun and you want to release it, if you want to test it to the standard that's been put out or that's been made known, then, you know, I'm happy to have it on the internet. If not, then cool. Do what you want with it.
I think that's a pretty safe way to be as far as, you know, like if we're going to say freedom of information, then it has to be mm-hmm. information has to be equally and openly accessible. Yeah.
And the information has to exist on its own. You know, it's if the information is free, then it is not this guy's information. You know, yeah. you can say like, you know, this guy made this, right? Like this mm-hmm. guy designed this, and you can pay deference to that or not. But, you know, if the information is truly free, then, you know, anybody can take this and redistribute it and remix it and do whatever they want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't like ascribe a kind of like lasting ownership in the way that like, you know,
how does that work?
Crypto like, people, like NFT people want.
How does that work with gun files? Because I see you shaking your head and like, we obviously don't exist in
yes
the 3D
no.
printing community. Like how, if somebody right. makes something and like wants to redistribute it like that, do they credit the original owner? I'm assuming like if they were to improve on
be,
the design,
it would be like would, a nice thing to be, do, right?
Right. So there's a Creative Commons solved or responded to this pretty well with their, right. their licensing structure. At least insofar as you can understand it as a regular person. Not to sound like the lawyer, you know, because I'm not a lawyer. I don't actually understand most of this stuff. The way it's been relayed to me is that if you release something and you don't subscribe or prescribe any licensure for it, you retain all rights as a creator, right? So distribution, ownership, etc. Creative Commons solved this pretty well with like, if you release it using this licensing structure, you can specify in plain English what you want people to do and not do with your files. And I like that they've done it in plain English that people can understand. Mm-hmm. So like attribution, share alike, non-commercial, these sort of broad categories for like how the developer wants you to do or wants you to use this or wants you to, I guess, sort of, how do I put it?
Credit them?
Yeah, kind of. Like how they want this data to be put into the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, attribution is sort of a basic, you know, basic thing where if you work on someone else's files that they put into the world for free, you should share that, hey, I started with these files. That's just that's a decent human thing to do. Share alike is a little bit more of a sticking point because if you've modified a file that someone else wanted and you want to charge money for that, for your time and whatever, I mean, you kind of have a right to do that, but you also got the files for free. And so if you got it for free, I feel like you should pass them on for free. You know, no one charged you to get access to the, you know, what a lot of times is the root of the work that the majority of the work that was done. No one charged you for access to that, and then you took it and you put a fun design on it or an anime girl or something, and then you charged $1 for it. You know, it's not great, but it's not horrible, but it's also kind of shitty. You know, and then there's straight up like, I'm charging you I'm taking the exact same thing that they put out, and now I'm charging money for you to get access to it. That's real fucked. So
well, it's not only fucked up, but it's also just not a very good idea. For a right. number of reasons.
And so there's like, you know, there's basic human sort of respect aspects to it. And then there's like the freedom information being free aspect of it. So there's, right. there's a lot of different converging points to it. I mean, I try and respect the wishes of the developers. If they want it to go out there for free with no restrictions at all, you know, they put it out there. If they want to do something like you have to attribute it to me or something like that, that's fine too. It's really just how they want to go about putting it into the world. I think the point where I draw the line is when you start having to have purity tests, when you start playing No True Irishman or Scotsman or whatever the hell it was. You know, that's where I draw the line personally, is like, that's when I'll wash my hands of you and your project. I'll just be annoyed with you because you're, you know, making my life irritating.
Yeah.
but you know,
I think that that's kind of like, you know, for this kind of stuff to work, there, you have to have a kind of optimism about people that, mm-hmm. you know, people are generally going to do the right thing. You know, we're going to create this system where information can be shared freely to kind of reduce the friction of people expressing themselves and expressing their rights. Mm-hmm. And we're going to trust that everybody is mostly everybody at most of the time is going to, you know, attribute work properly, is going to respect each other's work. Is not going to like steal and gatekeep stuff.
I think you pretty much summed up the reason why I'm as pro-gun as I am is yeah. I believe most people in the world, like 98% of people, are going to be good. And the last 2% probably should just be shot by one of the 98% yeah. when that 2% yeah. is trying to break into your home or yeah, something. Yeah.
The bad actors can do some damage before the situation gets corrected. But, you know, you have to trust that if you set this sort of system up properly, that, you know, people will take care of each other mostly.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of when I have this like kind of internal battle with myself whenever I talk about the root behind the phrase an armed society is a polite society, because I think most people, if you were to give them a gun, would not do bad things with it. I generally think that
when I hand them a gun, they're like, wow, this is a big responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that for the other 2%, like you said, the only thing to stop them from doing bad things is the threat of harm.
Mm-hmm.
Because well,
consequences,
but to themselves, like not yeah. to other people. Like, right, they don't have right, the exactly. empathy.
A lot of times, consequences don't even do it. It's that it's not, the consequences are too delayed, right?
You gotta wait
20 minutes.
Or not yeah. guaranteed.
Well, right. So that's the thing is, I found that people who are afraid of consequences are afraid of the certainty of a consequence, not the severity. And that if somebody is not afraid of the certainty of a consequence, the severity is not going to matter to them at all.
Yep.
Yeah, that's very
perfectly
very,
said.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think like as a result of that, like human nature, it makes me think, okay, maybe if everybody were to have a gun, it would be a safer place, because the only people that would be hesitant to do things to the only thing that's stopping those bad people from doing things now is the certainty and the severity of a consequence, which mm-hmm. is the strong possibility that they are going to get shot and will die. But then I think, you know, do we want to live in a world where everybody has a gun? I don't know, because I don't know what that world would look like. And the only real examples we have of that are where a lot of the bad people have guns,
mm-hmm.
Unfortunately. So, you know, I think it would be a pipe dream to think, hey, we're going to live in a safe society one day. I don't think that's possible. And that's why I love the idea that anybody can go on their computer, download a file, and with practice, print a functioning firearm. Look at Myanmar.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the key example is Myanmar.
It's Myanmar. Either. You said it right.
Right? Is it? Okay.
I think it's Myanmar.
I just remember Yoga Girl. You remember that?
No.
She was doing like yoga as the
yes.
Intersection for the army
oh,
ruling
yeah.
the capital. Yeah.
Yes.
That was a moment.
What a moment.
Yeah, it's really a case study in the effects or the effectiveness of 3D printing guns, you know? It's like it doesn't require, because the same sort of thing happened in World War II, where like the U.S. would airdrop Liberator pistols into occupied France and other places, and they were incredibly rare and hard to get a hold of, and you only had one shot, so you kill like a sentry, take his gun. It's that, but updated for the modern era. It doesn't make you reliant on a third party world power to deliver you from this evil coming at you. You can take it upon yourself to do it. So I feel like it's a great case study in the effects of the modern, you know, internet age, the ability for people to, you know, liberate themselves.
Right.
I think is a good way to put it.
And just the nature of this conversation reveals a lot about the situation, where it's like, you know, okay, so we're talking about a place where only bad people have guns. Why is that? Mm-hmm. Well, it's because it's been made very difficult for various reasons for anybody to have a gun. And so, you know, the natural consequence of that is that the people who are most determined to get guns are the ones that are most determined to use them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the ones who do not care as much about the consequences.
Yeah. And so, and
being able to get one.
That's why it's so important to have access to guns that don't, that can skirt around, you know, the whatever your international supply chain situation is, or, you know, the whatever regulations there are about getting guns in and out of your country.
Mm-hmm. I think it speaks a lot to the effectiveness of guns in general, which is people in good situations for them, and good people in really bad situations are all trying really hard to get them.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah,
let me get this tool that is going to make it significantly easier for me to continue doing what I'm doing, whatever that mm-hmm. is, whether it's living or hurting people.
Mm-hmm. And I love the question, like, why do you want a gun? Why do you want guns?
Because the better question is, why don't you want a gun?
Yeah.
Weirdo.
It's like, dude, I want guns for the same reason that anybody else wants a gun, because it works really well when you need it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're super fun.
That too.
can you, one thing that this is funny, Yeezy actually came up with this question, and it's something that I wouldn't have thought about, but it will also help me by you answering it. What is FOSCAD?
So FOSCAD is the FOSS, freedom of, what is the FOSS acronym? I forget.
You're muted, Andrew.
It's like free and open source something, 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 something.
Oh, free and open source software, right? So FOSS is this idea that you make software, you deliver it to the internet for free, with, and I don't know if they license stuff or things like that. It was the sort of the concept of, like, it's open and accessible to most people, most everyone. And then, like, I feel like he clarified that and saying that the guy who coined the term and the idea, I feel like he came back and said, like, if, you know, certain situations, like, it's up to the developers, how they want to handle stuff.
Yeah.
And my keyboard isn't working for some reason. Anyway.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I can't look it up real quick and sound cool. yeah, so it's the idea of, like, free and open source systems, code, software, things that can that of great utility to the average person being available for free. And I'll caveat that with, like, it comes up in our and then I'll the CAD part is computer aided design, so this has been adopted mm-hmm. for the gun community as far as, like, the open distribution of gun files, right? So making it accessible to people for them to download and make, essentially. And then, as a continuation of that, the information regarding actually making the project, so the instructions, right, the documentation, which is a huge part of the FGC9. You know, it's like a 100-page doc to build that, or I think it's very detailed, because, again, it was made for people who have never touched a gun before to then go and make their own.
That's so nuts to me.
It had to have that level of, like, handhold along instruction.
Yeah. And now you see, like, where they, like, the final iteration of where that is
mm-hmm.
is insane. Like, it's nuts looking. It looks like something out of the future. Yeah, which I love.
It is the future.
I love the murder fish.
Oh.
Yeah, no, because that's something that's always, like, come up where I see FOSCAD mentioned. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that Easy asked that, because I was like, oh yeah, that is a good question. But that makes sense. That makes total sense. And if I knew what acronyms were, I probably could have figured that out on my own. But for anybody out there who's listening who also didn't know, you're welcome for answering that question on this podcast. One thing that I wanted to talk about was, you know, we see 3D printed guns are like the boogeyman that are brought up constantly by politicians. And I love whenever 3D printed. No, sorry. Let me rephrase that. Politicians are kind of like
evil.
How? Yeah. Well, I see politicians as like Karens. Like they are like my dad. Like my dad being like, aren't those illegal? Has zero knowledge of how 3D printed firearms work, the legality behind them. But they're like, we don't like them because they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think it is going to be for legislators? How hard do you think it's going to be for legislators to regulate 3D printed firearms? Like at the end of the day?
I mean, I feel like they're going
to we've seen people ask for, they say you should get a license to have a 3D printer, which is crazy because so many other things are 3D printed besides firearms.
And good luck as a school getting an FFL.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. There are just so many problems with licensing to get a 3D printer that it just goes into the weeds immediately. That and with 3D printers being as cheap as they are already and as prevalent as they are already, good luck. Like,
yeah.
Well, also, it just doesn't logically track, right? It's like, okay, we're gonna require a license for a 3D printer because it's easy to print guns. Well.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same for any tooling or any machine that you can use to, like, you know, do additive manufacturing or subtractive manufacturing? Like,
I have a Dremel tool and a hacksaw. I can has gun.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to be like, where do you draw the line? But where the fuck do you draw the line? Like, what is?
Well, it's like that dude that you know, in Japan who made his own shotgun.
Yeah,
like that shotgun
and blasted like the prime minister.
Yeah, I'm not laughing at that.
This kills not only the prime minister but also his memory.
Yeah.
That like it looked like a Fallout gun. But like you can make that on your in Japan, which has extremely strict gun laws. The dude made a gun.
It was wild. In fact, he's the second person that I know of from Japan who's gone to prison for making their own guns. The first one was a guy
also
in the community
went to prison
called
for murder.
Well, that too. That's a footnote.
That
murder
was,
also.
Yeah, murder also in small letters.
But the bigger problem.
Yeah. The first guy who did not murder anyone, though, was Yoshimura Imura, who designed a lot of like 3D printed guns that exist out there.
That guy fucking rules.
Yeah. He designed a lot of stuff that's still floating around out there. It's, you know, really it's a good sort of because this was like 2015 when he was doing stuff. And so there's early days for us. It was 10 years ago. And so like. It's really kind of a lot of groundbreaking early designs were sort of played with by him because he didn't have anything to work. He had to make everything from scratch. So there's no, I'm just going to buy a Glock slide and put it on. No, that never happened. He made everything. And so it's some great stuff. And it's if any of you are getting into this space and want to take a little adventure, look for some of his designs out there because they're fun.
How did he get caught?
I mean, he posted a lot on the internet. So
not that I'm asking that question for any particular reason for anybody listening, but
I mean, I'll tell him, don't post your felonies on Twitter, idiot.
No, we talk about that all the time. Like, don't Fed post. People love posting pictures of their guns, and especially with like their serial numbers exposed for whatever reason. And even if your shit's all 100% legal, you don't have to take pictures of all your shit. Like, it's going in a database somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, leave a little
like
bit
me.
To obscurity. Yeah. Well, that's not all your shit. I got to look under my phone to see it. No, that is the most based background that we've ever had on this show.
I do what I can.
For those listening, not watching, this will be on YouTube, but, yeah, it's a background of like neon backlit rifles and arguably probably pistols and
it runs the runs thing. The gamut Thanks. From some stuff that looks like antiques to some you know brand new space age 3D printed stuff.
I got a suppressor up there too.
I see that. That's a chunky boy.
We're not live on YouTube, right?
No.
Okay.
But this is being recorded, so if there's something you don't want, like, record, you know, like something you don't want to exist in the
record. That is so fucking cool. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the Shush Puppy. It was one of the I think the second or third 3D printed suppressor, but this is the one that's like entirely self-contained. They're modular baffle sections. Yeah. So you made it as long as you want. This one weighs 3 pounds. So if you put it on the end of a Glock, it just straight up won't cycle.
which arguably is fine.
Right, because it just becomes a 9mm well rod at that point.
Yeah.
And you know, column A, column B, it's kind of an improvement, kind of a not, but yeah.
So, stupid question, but like, so the internals of that gun are, obviously the barrel is a barrel, but like, having 3 pounds on the end of that, what does that do for the, like, the structure of the firearm itself being 3D printed?
Not much.
It's a short barrel, so it shouldn't sag much.
Yeah, I mean, the Mac that this is on just sort of doesn't care.
That's awesome. Oh, because the upper is not 3D printed. It's just the lower.
Yeah.
I've run this on my 3D printed MP5 too, my SF5, and it also doesn't care. It actually balances out the gun pretty well.
I think if you hung that on the end of a 20-inch free-floated AR barrel, you might see some POI shift.
Right, which I have done, and that's why there are some fun cracks in the side here.
Yeah.
Because after 100 rounds of 5.56, it didn't like it very much anymore.
Wait, are you saying that you repaired your Form 1 suppressor?
No, I'm saying, look, there's still a plate here. Because there's nothing here. It's still vaguely broken.
Andrew, don't try to do that.
I'm just kidding. I don't care. I don't give a shit.
Wait, are you not allowed to do that?
If you're a manufacturer, you can repair suppressors. If you built it on a Form 1, you have to start again.
Right.
Oh, I see.
Now, I'm not saying that you could or that you should do this, but with this design and that they're all DIY baffles, who would know?
Right.
Just don't post it on Twitter, idiot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Not that you should. We're not advocating for that.
Right. Definitely don't do that.
Yeah.
If you chose to. Anyway.
That's cool. That is so cool. We're in the age of 3D printing suppressors now.
And that suppressor was made 5 years ago, 2020, 2019.
My favorite part is the four massive bolts that just go through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Holding it together.
I wonder if I can. No, I don't have the CAD on my computer.
No, that's okay. That's sick. That is sick though.
Hey, do a desk pop with it real quick.
Yeah, how quiet is it? Will we be able to hear it? How quiet is it though?
It's certainly hearing safe. By a pretty large margin. That is designed for 9mm. It's seen about 4,000 rounds, and 2,000 of those were full auto.
So that's insane.
And it did all of that over the course of like 3 weeks.
What did you print it with?
A PLA Plus.
That's wow.
Basic PLA Plus.
That's crazy to me that like, yeah, it's super. Yeah, I just love the state that we're in right now where people can print like fully functional quality stuff.
Yeah. And what I was saying, that suppressor was 2019, 2020. We've gotten better. There's better stuff out there now.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's nuts. Is there so you've got another, what is that super thick boy that you've got back there? The baby blue lower, it looks like. I'm literally just like, please take all your heavy shit.
Groaning. It's just
a wait, is that a can? Yeah. That's a kink. It's awesome.
So this was an experiment of did I make a firearm or not? Because it's an AR, but it's a can cannon, which is not a firearm.
Yep.
And so it's kind of one of those mid-range places where it is, but it's not actually, but it is, but it's not actually. And so
fires with blanks?
Yeah, this is blanks, and then soda can, or this tube is for a golf ball.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
It's when you take it out and into the backyard and you know, you've got the cannon, a friend of yours has a shotgun, you're shooting skeet with a with soda cans.
That's amazing. Oh my God, I hate Connecticut.
Right?
That's so sick. Yeah, there's a strong like urge from certain people I've spoken to who, whenever they hear that I'm from Connecticut, are just like, move out of Connecticut. Just yeah. don't do that.
Yeah.
Cowards.
Yeah. I you know, I don't ever see us, at least not in the foreseeable future, going into a time where like we can do whatever we want to the extent of, not whatever we want, but where you know, like we have, like we're able to do more. Like I don't see us getting rights back mm-hmm. anytime soon. Maybe, you know, there's a push to overturn the AR ban, which would be great, but and a lot of it comes down to just like the property here is like, unless you live in the rural area of Connecticut, right. it's tough to really find space to do shooting on your own land. But I had somebody yesterday or the other day tell me, just go shoot on public land, dummy. And I was like, what is that? We don't have that here.
Yeah.
Those are parks.
Right. With playgrounds.
Yeah, exactly.
They get real sad when you start doing that.
Yeah,
shooting around the playgrounds.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Don't do that, kids. Oh, no. It's not a good idea.
Don't do that.
Yeah, we had the same problem in Iowa because it's all, everything out there is like agricultural private property, and so there's very few places for you to shoot. When you do shoot, it's like, or when you hunt, right? You're bow hunting, or you're hunting with a 12 gauge. You know, because the round is theoretically not going to go that far. And yeah. so like, it's just, it's, you've got a 200 yard patch of woods to hunt in for that. Like you and 30 other people are hunting in. And it's just oh, not great.
No, that's not depressing.
So they have like a handful of public ranges, but they're an hour drive to get to. There's a handful of private ranges, but they're mm-hmm. like expensive and get angry with you when you show up with your 3D printed neon gun.
Grow up, dudes. Fucking yeah. nerds.
Yeah. That was I had an experience with the range I was a member of. I had showed up. I was filming a little bit for YouTube, and I had an AR-9 that I had just 3D printed, and it was like a pure white thing that didn't quite look right. It looked a little strange, and so one of the sort of board members was out there, and he saw it. He came over asking questions, and then I got a notice like a week later of like, we're going to update the rules. You're not allowed to bring 3D printed guns out to the range.
I'm
like,
why not?
You though? Actual dick. And so I went to the board meeting. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? And they're like, we don't like 3D printed guns. They're scary. And there's a golf course over there. And they're going to get mad if anything goes wrong. I'm like, y'all are fucking cowards. So that was the Jeez. End of my membership at that range.
Yeah, for sure.
And it was really funny because like 6 weeks later, I got, you know, emails and phone calls from other members who were like, hey, tell me about 3D printed guns.
Yeah, right. I wasn't bold enough to say anything in the meeting where I could have actually made a difference, but I'd like you to take time out of your day to make right. my life better.
And so I did, but I'm like, you know, I'll convert them eventually when they stop being idiots.
Yeah.
So
I'm glad you had that take though, because one thing that we've talked about multiple times on this podcast is like the willingness to talk to people who you're not 100% aligned with but mm-hmm. have interest in you really determines like how a movement progresses, and there that's something that specifically the left struggles with because I find, at least in my, I was telling you before about how, you know, we live in like a fairly drama-free space, but every once in a while there will be someone who's like, you're not doing enough, or you're not doing it right, or like
right.
you're a grifter or whatever. And it's like, we're like, look at all this stuff, but like it's the one thing you want to pick out. The fact that you're like, hey, I mean, I totally get Andrew, you know, you being like, yeah, why wouldn't you say something there where you could actually help? But at the same time, like, we're in the time that we are in now, and saying that doesn't help us.
Right.
So I commend you.
I wish it need not have happened in my time.
When I was a lad. No. That's sort of, so the thing that I found in all of these conversations is like, you both have to be in a position where you could walk out of it understanding that you were wrong.
Yes, that's and hard that's, to do on the internet.
Right. on the internet, it's almost impossible. In real life, yeah. It becomes a little bit easier because you're like sitting down over a glass of whiskey or something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's sort of the position you have to be in both sides to make that conversation actually work. And fortunately, I've had more experiences where it works than when it doesn't.
That's awesome.
At least not on in real life anyway. Twitter is the wild opposite, but that's Twitter, so whatever.
Yeah, no, real life is key, and the IRL is really where things like change happens. It's really tough to convince somebody of your position on the internet, because they can just choose not to listen or mm-hmm. believe you, and
they can't punch you in the face.
Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine if you were held accountable for the things you said on the internet?
Right, it'd be wild.
No, somebody said something, some girl gun person just came onto Twitter, and I started following her because I follow her on Instagram, and she posted a picture of her carrying an address with a Filster Enigma, and somebody was like, "Nice abs, a guy who's going to go down on you better know how to fight," or something. And I was like, you thought after typing all of that that you should still hit
send
and don't think post there's anything
that hurt. And she every was just part she was very like listening to that.
No, my god. Oh, and she was like, yeah, my husband's great, whatever. But I'm like, people are not held accountable for the things they say on the internet. And if you could physically slap somebody across the screen, that would change a lot of that. Because nobody who says that stuff is going to say that stuff in person.
I was having this idea of like a device that you plug hook onto your phone, where it's just USB-C into the back, but it's just this hand, like an arm that comes out the back. And so if enough people downvote your tweet, you just get slapped.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I feel like that would be a good utility for the modern age.
Yeah, for sure. Alex, I have another question, and then I'm going to kick you out because my wife's been with my child for the last 2 hours, and I need
fair enough
assist her. So Andrew actually was texting me about this right now. Yeezy's posting Yeezy prints for mm-hmm. anybody who doesn't know. You should go follow him. About how PLA Plus is good enough for everyone, like whatever you want to make. Do you agree with that? And like, what do you think is best suited for printing durable parts that need to withstand a lot of stress?
So
PLA Plus good for everything?
Generally. So in the space, in the gun space, you can print, there are a lot of materials you can print with. Many will be better, but a lot of it comes down to how good of a printer you are, how well your printer has been tuned to work with the material you're using. And so PLA Plus is incredibly easy to work with, incredibly reliable, incredibly consistent in its finished form once you've printed it. And so, like, everything that's been put out in the last 4 years has been tested with PLA Plus. That's its baseline material. And so it will work. It will do well. And if you've printed it right, if you set up your printer correctly, and you've done all of the like the steps to be good, then you will have a good part at the end. Likewise, if you do all of that, but with like PA6 carbon fiber, uber great nylon, you will also have a good part at the end, and it will be better than PLA Plus. But to use carbon fiber filament, to use nylon filament, is 2, 3, 4 times more expensive. It's a lot more difficult to tune. Partially because of the cost, partially because it's a more durable material. And you're going to have more difficulty with it when you get into nylon. You'll have a better, longer lasting print. However, it will be far more difficult to make. So that's the trade-off there. You can, a good way to think about this is the more durable your material is, the harder it will be to print with it. Because in order to print with it, you have to break your material and then reconstruct it.
Ah, okay.
So it's in the hot end of the nozzle, you're breaking down that material into its goopy liquid form, squirting it out into another shape. And so if you have a more durable material, more heat resistant material, it's going to be harder to deal with.
Yeah. I feel that. That's it makes sense to me. I feel that, bro.
I identify with that.
I identify as a hard material. Preach. being broken.
Right?
Oh man. Okay, cool.
Hard printers make strong
objects. Yeah. Strong objects make weak times. Weak times make weak printers.
Make men hard.
Hard men making hard men hard.
Hard men making hard objects harder.
Harder. Breaking them and making them hard again.
Yeah.
Brother. On that note.
If you had sponsored by CBT.
Yeah. question we ask all of our guests as we're getting ready to kick them off is, if you had one piece of advice for people, it doesn't have to be related to guns or 3D printing. It could be. What would it be?
Take the printer out of the box.
Oh, he's calling me out. He's calling me out metaphor? Specifically.
Is that a metaphor?
No, he's literally, he sees at my office, my Ender 3 just sitting in a box like it's been since Black Friday 3 years ago.
And, oh my God.
He's telling me specifically to do that.
If there's one person I could never see 3D printing something, it would be you, Andrew, because of the amount of chaos in your life.
Yeah, well, that's why I thought I'd do it at the office.
It's at the office. I see.
But now my kids come in the office with me, and so that's not going to happen. Did I tell you my middle kid fried my computer by switching my power strip on and off real quick?
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
Yeah, blew my power supply. I'm lucky it didn't fry anything else in the computer.
Oh. That seems like such a dumb way to break a computer.
Yeah, well, he's two, so please.
No,
he saw the button like, it was glowing red.
Like the computer manufacturer should have thought that.
Well, I think they're like, okay, we'll protect you from like one power cycle. You know, beyond that, you're on your own.
Yeah, if you have a two-year-old.
Like, literally, he found the power switch. It was like, just as fast as he could.
That's awesome.
Kids are great.
Well, Alex, thank you for coming on, man. This was a good time.
Yeah, anytime. Happy to finally be on.
yeah. Finally connected and got together and did some cool stuff together. Maybe one day we'll meet in person and get to shoot 3D printed guns in
the same space. Yeah, it'd be fun. Let me know if you're ever in my neighborhood.
We'll do. We'll absolutely do that.
Don't say your neighborhood until we stop recording.
I know the state he lives in. Cool.
Florida's awesome. A small place. I'm easy to find.
Yeah, exactly. On that note.